Hare Krishna. So this is text 14. Spoken by Krishna to Arjuna in Kurukshetra, which is an expansion of the Kurukshetra here in Madhyadvip, in Navadvip. Matras Parshas Tukhanteya Shitushna Sukadhukada Agama Paino Nityas Tham Stitiksha Svabharata. Matrasparsha, sensory perception, two only. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Shita, winter. Ushna, summer. Sukha, happiness. Dukha, and pain. Da, giving. Agama, appearing. Apainaha, disappearing. Anitya, non-permanent. Tan, all of them. Titikshasva, just try to tolerate. Bharata, O descendant of the Bharata dynasty. Translation. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception. Ocean of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magha, January, February. It is very cold at that time. But in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principle does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya, illusion. The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kaunteya signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharat signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides he is supposed to have a great heritage. Oh, a great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Miritamena Tasmai Shri Vaino. Namo Shivaya Krishna Vistha Budhare Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Vishane Nivshishya Shunyavadi Paschatya Risha Tarine Vanisha Kalpatru Vishagrim Sindhu Vishavim Devrishnab Benamam Matrasparsha Shtukanteya Shitoshna Shukadukada Agamapainu Nithyas Tham Stitiksha Svabharata. So, Shri Krishna gives a very specific instruction. We should learn to tolerate the appearance and disappearance of pleasure and pain, because they are due only to the interaction between the senses and the sense objects. Senses are temporary, at least in their physical configuration. The sense object is also temporary, and the experience of pain and pleasure is also temporary. So one should not focus too much on that particular experience. One should go beyond. And Srila Prabhupada gives two very pertinent, practical examples. Taking a bath. I don't know about the percentages, but often people have arrangement to take bath even in the winter with hot water. Of course, some people don't have that. But even if there is no arrangement for hot water, one should take a bath. Should accept that austerity. Certainly if one doesn't take a bath, there are many consequences. One is dirty, his mind will be still in tamas guna. There are devotees, for instance, who travel in the train in India. Sometimes this train is in India, the 24 hours, 36 hours. So one happens to sleep in the train. And some devotees, now without mentioning any names, of course, but some devotees have the habit of taking bath even in the train. They get up, they sleep, they get up, they go to the toilet, and they, with some sort of mug or glass, they take bath, and then they are fresh. Of course, if your trip arrives 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and then you go to the temple, maybe you wait for take bath in the temple. Maybe it's more practical. But if you have another half day, another day, say your train leaves at 10 o'clock at night, and it arrives at 10 o'clock at night, then in the morning you need to take bath. I mean, that's my advice, take bath. Otherwise all day you'll be dirty, and then maybe you sleep more than necessary, and so on and so forth. So that the body will take bath is following that, even though it's a little bit uncomfortable. You have to go with a gamcha, this train is all rolling by, no, it's kind of movable, and the toilet trains are not the most, it's not the place where you want to spend much time. Well, so, where you brush your teeth and so on. So, this is an example. Maybe not so cold. Sometimes it's also cold. In the winter is cold. But again, if somebody accepts this as a duty, he does. Then Srila Prabhupada gives another example of a lady who has the duty to cook for the family. They come home, or they're already home, but they are hungry. Children is hungry, are hungry, and the husband is hungry, so she has to cook. And sometimes, especially in traditional or simple rural facilities, there is a real fire. It's not just some electric thing with gas. You have to actually go there with the cow dung and the fire there. Sometimes it's super hot outside. It's summer in India, 30 degrees, 40 degrees. But still, she has to cook. And after that, she will be maybe a complete bath of sweat, but she has done her duty. So there is another part of the Bhagavad Gita at the end, 18th chapter, which is a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita, where in text number 8, Shri Krishna says, Shri Krishna talks about the renunciation in the mode of passion. And this is how he describes. Dukha mitiva yat karma kaya klesha bhayatya jet sakritva raja santyagam naiva tyaga palam labhit. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. So in other words, this is a particular use of the word tyaga or renunciation. One, what does he is renouncing? Is renouncing his duties. Maybe the man in Maga, January, February, said, no, it's too cold, I cannot take bath. Or is in the train, I have to go there with the mug. Why should I take bath? I'll take bath in 26 hours. When I arrive, I'll ride the next train, next temple, next city, my destination. But the lady may say, I don't want to cook. But Krishna says, if one gives up their duty, such action never leads to elevation of renunciation. Naiva tyaga palam labhit. One will not gain the fruit. So what is this renunciation in passion? Is dukkham. Kaya means body. Klesha, trouble. Bhayat, out of fear of the pain of the body. Kaya klesha bhayat tyajit. One gives up a duty because he's afraid, my body will be trouble. Kaya klesha, my body will be in some klesha. Therefore bhaya, I'm afraid it will be, the skin will feel too cold, or the lady will say, the skin will feel too hot. Maybe my skin will be darkened by all this fire. Whatever. Some klesha, kaya klesha. Physical discomfort. But then Krishna said, but then you give up, then you don't get the palam, you don't get anything. Passion, the nature of passion is that it gives temporary pleasure, but then it creates more pain later. So one may say, I don't want to get up, it's too cold, let me turn the other side. And that you have that maybe a few minutes of pleasure, I'm still warm and nicely cozy in the bed. But then you find yourself after 2 hours that, you still have to take bath, you have lost the Brahma Murta, you lost time, you get up, you're tamasic, maybe you don't find any more time for your rounds. And then all day you think, what to do, this, that. So you don't, certainly it was a renunciation. It's like almost an ironic way to say renunciation. Tyaga in passion. Which is different than tyaga in tamas. Because tyaga in tamas, previous verse, Krishna says, Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. In other words, in the tamas guna, one creates some sort of imagination that, no, it's not really important. I took these vows, but I was very young. I didn't know what I was getting into. Now I'm grown up. There are more important things than Krishna consciousness. This is illusion, moha, maya, that which is not, because obviously there's nothing more important for us than our own eternal identity. That's what we are. So if we think there is something more important, that's moha. See, the passionate may know, yes, it's my duty, but kaya, klesha, bhayat. Because he is afraid, oh, something will happen to my body, I lose comfort, then he renounces. But the tamasic is more deep. The moha is more deep. He has some philosophy. And of course, we know, because the gunas are always turning around or fighting for prominence, for predominance. Sometimes one may start with the tyaga in rajas. One may start with the renunciation in passion. Oh, I cannot get up so early. It's not for me. I don't know. When I was young, maybe at 20s, but now, you know, it's so cold in the morning. But then it may become in tamas. You create a philosophy that really you don't have to do it. Because of this, because of that. No, actually this, that. So it becomes deeper and deeper. The covering becomes deeper and deeper. Like Srila Prabhupada once, he gave an example of studying the books. He said, studying the books 2 hours a day at least, in a lecture, he say like that. And he gives that as an example of tapasya. Now, this is a little bit interesting because imagine an author of a book that says, to read my book is tapasya. Generally, it's not a great advertisement for a book, you know. You write a book and you say, you want to do some tapasya? Read my book. It's not really, generally, an advertisement. But obviously, Srila Prabhupada didn't mean that this book, reading his book is tapas. But the fact of disciplining oneself and say, look, I have many things to do, there are many things I could do, but I will fix my mind on the books. Srila Prabhupada books, or Srila Prabhupada in pursuance of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, but I will carve that time out every day, and I will fix my mind in these pages, black and white, few pictures. Of course, there are a few pictures, but we have seen them a million times. Sometimes we don't even look at them anymore because we have seen them a million times. So it's really only ink on paper. A YouTube video is much more, what do you call it? Attractive in one sense, because it moves, no? Even if it's something stupid, like, no, Tom and Jerry, some cat fighting with a mouse, at least there is color, there is movement, there is some music. So it's easier to watch. We know it's stupid, but it's easier to watch than the brain effort to read. Read, 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 read. And especially read something that beats our mind. Every page, it's relentless. Relentlessly, every page, do your duty, become a pure devotee. Why you're in Maya, don't be in Maya. Maya will kick your rear end. Go to Krishna, you have to die. So the mind, that's in a sense an austerity. Because generally we don't like to be chastised. We like to be glorified. Oh, you're such a beautiful person. You have done some beautiful activities. You're really a gift to humanity. But these books, they don't tell us this. They don't tell us. Like there's a famous book entitled, I am okay, you are okay. And there is a conversation in which the devotees bring up that book to Srila Prabhupada. But in one sense, I'm not saying that they cannot take anything useful, but the idea is that these books tell us, you are not okay, and you get to act, you get your act together. Imagine just the verse of today, 2:14. One reads and says, Srila Prabhupada, okay, January, February is very cold, you have to take bath. You have to cook, even in the summer, you have to cook. So obviously this is a little heavy on the mind. It's not some story, some novel, some people doing something, some adventures. There is no, what do you call, there is no rest for the mind. Therefore it's an austerity. And sometimes even the body, some of us may become restless. Some devotees may be very good at doing devotional service, they're always busy doing things, but sometimes they cannot stop the body and for, okay, now you put the mind on the book, read. Because something else is there to engage our senses. So that's another form of kaya klesha bhayat, out of discomfort for the body. Some people, even to keep the body still, it's a discomfort. They can't stay still. They have to move, they have to go up and down. For them, it's easier for maybe go shopping or do something, cook, do something else, but stay quiet, silence, read, or chant. Or chant. Because also that is like a control of the body. You can walk, no problem. But still, can't do anything else. Should be there with the mantra. So, these are all austerities that need to be done. And if we renounce these austerities, we don't have the benefit. We don't have the benefit. And the yesterday's verse, the Hinos Vinyatadehe, in this reincarnation, in this process of transmigration, within this body, from different faces, childhood, youth, old age, and in changing another body, in this verse it says you'll find happiness, you'll find distress, and you cannot be too much distracted. This is an interesting concept. Tolerate happiness and distress. See, distress you can tolerate. But happiness, what does it mean to tolerate happiness? Generally people, their whole life is a research for happiness. So they don't know, sometimes it's hard to understand, what does it mean to tolerate happiness? To tolerate happiness is means that sense of pleasure, which is passing, should not distract us and should not make us so euphoric that again we forget our duty. In other words, we should not really, okay, now is the time of enjoyment. No, even like there are authorized pleasure like eating prasad, but should not be just a sensual thing. Ideally, no, we sing Sarira Vidyajal, ideally to create a consciousness that, okay, this is a liberating food, it's the mercy of the Lord. We get in a grateful mood so that we take the food like in gratitude, gratefulness. So, in other words, it's not just, oh, the senses. So many other things like that. We should not, because if we become too disturbed by happiness or too disturbed by praise, then we'll also be disturbed when we get criticized or when we get some negative experience, negative in the sense, some unpleasant experience. Like you cannot root for a sport team, it could be cricket or football. And they say, I will only enjoy when my team wins. I will not suffer when they lose. You cannot do that. You cannot say, I will enjoy when India will win the world championship, which happens every 20 years. But I will not be affected when India loses in cricket, which is most of the time. I mean, most of the time in the sense of that is the championship. So you have to choose. Either you are, if you step in, you become conditioned. So, and why one should not be so distracted? Because anyways, it's coming and going. It's not yet, and you're not, you know, okay, you won the championship. I remember India won the championship when a couple of years ago, and people here, even the local people, they were dancing and shooting these firecrackers, and there were banners everywhere. The whole India, imagine a billion people celebrating. We won the world championship of cricket, which the world doesn't even care about cricket, because there are 4 or 5 countries in the whole world that plays cricket. But I'm just saying, okay, nothing happened to you. You are a farmer in West Bengal. Either the India wins or loses doesn't make any difference for you. And plus, next time, it will start losing again. So why you should put so much investment? Anyway, my point is this. There was one sannyasi, Smita Krishna Maharaj. He's from Sweden. So one time he told Kanabakanana Maharaj, say, Maharaj, I found the secret of happiness. So then Kanabakanana Maharaj asked, please tell me too, Maharaj, you found the secret of happiness, you tell me. So Smita Krishna Maharaj said, the secret of happiness is this: suffer and be happy. It's a very deep realization. In other words, accept your condition. There will be something. There will be something. Your body, maybe the legs or the stomach or the head or the nerves or something. There may be the environment, it's cold, it's hot, it's this or that. There may be a delay, there may be so many suffering, maybe a disciple, like this, there's a spiritual master, maybe a disciple is in Maya, a disciple doesn't obey, a disciple, you know, leaves Krishna conscious. Something will happen, and then on different levels. But despite the suffering, you'll be happy. Despite the suffering. Don't give the power to the environment. Don't give the power to the adibhautika klesha, to the adiatmika klesha, to the adidaiva klesha. Don't give the power. You may be sweating in a hot room, and don't give the power to the environment. Just be happy. Yes, I'm suffering. So what? I'm happy. I can still be happy. So that was a pretty good realization. And then you can go beyond this Shritoshna Shukadukada. But this is very important, because again, if we cannot tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, we will be distracted in our spiritual life. We'll be distracted. Because today will be something, the body, tomorrow is the mind. Next day is the temple president, next day is the government of the country, next day are the mosquitoes, and next day is something. So if we always wait for the perfect circumstance of performing your duty, then you'll never get around that. It's like for Arjuna, Srila Prabhupada brings it to Arjuna, he says, for a kshatriya, you got to fight. Sometimes it's a relative, sometimes it's a friend. You still have to fight. So if you're a kshatriya, you cannot expect, well, I'll fight when only the really an enemy, which I really hate, because it's really bad, and it's very clear I had to fight with him, I'll kill him, and no problem, I really wish to kill him. But sometimes it may be a friend, like in this case, he has many friends, he has even his teacher, very worshipable people. Yeah, to fight, yes, to fight. Otherwise, again, if you do that, the religious principles are lost. And just to give a quick preview of the next verse, Krishna gives so much importance to this, concept of tolerating the duality, that he says, Yamina vyatayantyete purusha purusharshava sama dukha sukham dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. So this dhiram, sukha, sama, dukha sukham dhiram, who remains sama, equipoised in sukha and dukha, so amritatvaya kalpate, he becomes qualified for liberation, for deathlessness. Translation, O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Eligible for liberation. I mean, I think you all heard the story of the wise Chinese farmer. You heard the story? Maybe you heard. No harm in hearing again. There was this farmer somewhere in China, and he was having one horse. So then one day the horse escapes, somehow breaks the fence and escapes. And these are simple farmers, they don't have much. So the neighbors came all disturbed. Oh, this is very bad luck. You have the one horse that escaped, so this is very bad luck, bad luck. But the Chinese farmer said, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Then, after a couple of days, this horse, you know the story? The horse comes back, and somehow he brought with him 3-4 more horses, because 3-4 more wild horses follows him and they go into the fence. So now the farmer has got 4 horses. Then the neighbors become very excited. Oh, you got 4 horses, this is very good luck, very good luck. The farmer was not affected. He says, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Then, next day, the farmer's son starts training these horses. So he goes on one horse, and this wild horse, he throws him, and the son breaks his leg. So again, the neighbors, oh, bad luck, bad luck, so bad luck. The son broke the leg, now many months he cannot work, very bad luck. But the old farmer was not affected. Good luck, bad luck, who knows? Okay. Then, next day, there was the king was arranging for a war. And he was going around the country, getting, enrolling all the able-bodied young men. So they come to the village, they come to the house, and they say, where is your son? We're looking for young men for the king's army. And so look, the son is here, but he's got a broken leg. So then the army, no, he cannot come. What they can do? He cannot become a soldier. Leave him alone. And they move. And so the neighbors again, they come there and say, oh, this is very good luck. You see, very good luck. Your son could have gone to the army, but now he's here, very good luck. And the farmer said, good luck, bad luck, who knows? So he was an example of this. Sometimes something good happens, sometimes, I mean, pleasant, that the mind feels, oh, this is very good, there's some gain, there is something positive. Sometimes the mind feels distressed, oh, something bad, quote-unquote, bad happens, something unpleasant. But actually, it's all come and goes, summer, winter. I remember when I was in Gurukul, it was very famous, the children, when it was summer, they would wait for winter. They would say, oh, when winter will come? Now it's so hot, sweaty, we like the winter. Then winter will come, everything cold. So people say, oh, when the summer will come, summer so warm, nice. So it's like that, actually it's like that. Huh? Some people say, oh, when I will get married, when I will get married, and they get married. Why did I get married? Why did I get married? I was so nicely free. Like that, people are never happy because external circumstances cannot make you happy. That's the thing. Lord Chaitanya says, Bhadra abhadra gyan sab manodharma, ei balo ei manda ei sab brahma. I don't know if the pronunciation is very clean, but Bhadra abhadra gyan. Oh, is it dhaite? Bhadra bad gyan sada vanoda. Dhaite, dvaite means in the world of duality, to think that something is bhadra, auspicious, and something is inauspicious. Sab mano dharma. It's an imagination. It's a dharma of the mind. It's not real. It's a perceptional. It's just a perception. Something is good, something is bad. It's all a manner of sab. Sab means sarva, no? It's completely. And to think, hey balo, this is very good, hey mando, this is bad. It's all a mistake, Brahma. So this is the teaching of our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this world, to think this is good, this is bad, it's an illusion. It's the original, one of the original conditioning. Bhagavad Gita says, what is that? Ragadvesha samuttena dhandva moena bharata. What is that? Huh? Icchadvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. Everybody in this world is born, sarge yanti, it's from the creation that icchadvesha, this icha and dvesha, I like this, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that. Dvandva mohena, in this illusion of duality, or dvandva. Everybody is born with this. It's born, it's very sticky. It's one of the five basic conditionings, raga, dvesha, icha, dvesha. And of course, I'm not saying we need to have something we like, something we don't like, but not based on just pleasure. It's based on what is good for us. Okay, so these are a few points on this verse. Any questions or comments or experiences? Yes? Okay, the question is, I said there was a Swami Smita Krishna Maharaj. What do you mean by he was? No, he's still there. Right? It's like, once upon a time, this Maharaj said. So it's not that he's not there anymore. I was in Gurukul. I was in Gurukul, not as a student. I was in this Gurukul, Mayapur, as a teacher. What did I teach? I taught Bhakti Shastri, I taught bhakti by Baba. I taught different things. Well, I'll tell you when I will come to Krishna consciousness. I'll be very glad to tell you. No, how do I come to Krishna consciousness? See, I was living in Rome, in Italy, and Srila Prabhupada came to Rome, but I didn't see him. He came in 1974. I was 11 years old. And I was still going to school, so I didn't know. Srila Prabhupada came. He actually came very close to my house. You see the picture of Srila Prabhupada in the Colosseum? Colosseum? You know, the Rome, that kind of stadium? Rome is famous for that, Colosseum. You know Colosseum? I'm sure you must have seen. It's a symbol of Rome. It's like an old stadium from ancient Rome. It's called the Colosseum. So my house is just very close to that. And Srila Prabhupada was staying, so he had to pass very close to my house. So I never met Srila Prabhupada, but I've been maybe 1 kilometer from Srila Prabhupada. So that's closest I got to Srila Prabhupada. So, but anyway, then after that, of course, the devotees continue to preach. So my sister got the book, Bhagavad Gita, in Italian. It was the first edition in Italian. There's many, many pictures. Some of those pictures you don't see anymore, somehow. Many, many, many pictures, more than now. And some they are not seen anymore. So I was looking at these pictures. Then my grandmother got a BTG, Back to Godhead magazine. Krishna with a coward friend on Jula. Also in Italian. Then my sister got another little pamphlet. It was not a BTG, it was Hare Krishna with Balaram date in the front. So I liked very much, and after some time I went to the temple. There was a temple in Rome, and they took very good care of us. I went, me and two friends from school. We're not going to school anymore, but we went together. We're still friends. So we went there. And at that time in Rome, it was not deity because they moved it to the Florence. It was in May 1980. So we came, and there was this, only 3-4 devotees in the temple. One devotee was Chitraka Prabhu. Chitraka is a Srila Prabhupada disciple from Greece. He was there translating the Bhagavad Gita into Greek. Then there was one devotee, Adilila. At the time he was Bhakta. And I remember he was very relaxed, very knowledgeable. Although he was a Bhakta since 5 years. He was from Naples in the south of Italy. Generally, Naples people are more laid back, no? They don't work much, but they're into singing. In fact, he's an artist, you know? So he was there. We came and he started talking with us for 1 hour, 2 hours. Very fascinating. And he said, how long you are here? He said, I'm here since 5 years. But still was a Bhakta. Off and on, but So I thought, wow, I would like to be like him after 5 years. As he was like the monk, you know, shaved up, very peacefully sitting. No, generally Westerners, they sit on the sofa normally, no? But devotees sit one leg up, one, you know, they sit like this. Very relaxed. So I felt, wow, I would really like in 5 years to be like this. Although it was a bhakta, but I felt, wow, this is really great. Then at one point, they say the Chitraka Prabhu came, because he was with a Greek professor translating. Then at one point he finished, he came, okay, now let's do a bhajan. Okay. So we were only me and my two friends. There was another bhakta from Sardinia. They were all, I mean, many were bhaktas, but to me they looked very advanced, you know, because I was nowhere. So then he sat down, this bhakta, I remember, he sat down. You know when you put like this, the feet, and the feet goes out, you know? So he put the foot inside like this. So I thought, wow, this thing has pockets. He has pockets for feet. Because the way he put the foot inside, it looks like there is a place for the foot to go inside, the dhoti. Anyway, I was very young, what do I know? Then Chitraka Prabhu gave me a tampura. I never saw a tampura. First day, there, dirty little boy from Rome, take this tampura, do like this. Dum, 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 dum. Okay. I started dum, 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 dum. Then somebody else put the kartas. Then he put a harmonium. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And looked like very long, half an hour. So very, wow, this is very beautiful. Wow. Then after that, we already had 3-4 hours there. After that, they said, okay, now we'll show you a movie. And at the time, I mean, we are talking 1980. At the time, there was no computers. There was no even tapes, VHS. You remember the big VHS? There was not, that was pre-VHS. The only movies was the big thing with the iron around, you know? So they brought big projector, maybe 50 kilos projector, they put this thing. So they had to work for it. It's not just you put, you show a computer or something. Boom, put the projector, put the movie, put the reel, put the screen on the wall. And there was this movie about Vrindavan. Very extraordinary. I remember still, there was this Arti to the Yamuna at the sunset. This big Arti, shh, then you see the peacocks, the monkey, Krishna, everything very different, very different. I mean, never been in India, everything very different. Then, during the movie, they gave us a plate of prasada. And there was things I never tasted. Kofta ball. I don't know what it is. Take this kofta. Very good. Then there was a glass of milk. Generally, I would drink milk, cold milk. That was, I drink cold milk. In the West, it's very common. You drink cold milk. But this was super hot. So I drank, I burned myself. I mean, as you can see, I was really unprepared for the experience. But anyway, burned, but you know, everything else was very good. So finally, after 4 hours of being there, the preaching, the food, the bhajan, the devotees very nice, very saintly, all monks. Then we got out after 4 hours in these completely different circumstances. We got out and I had the sense. I remember very clearly going out, seeing the city, it's a modern part of Rome, seeing the buildings, and think this thought just came to my mind, that anything which is done outside, which is not what is done in the temple, is useless. Anybody who is not doing what is done in this temple is completely useless. In other words, all the building I saw, they look empty, they look dead. And then after a few days, I joined the temple. I started living there. That's a start. So our time is up. Thank you very much for your attention, for your time. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, ki as it is, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Nita Gaur Premanandi. One thing I can add, just for you, is that after we came out of that, me and my friends, we were so happy. Somehow, naturally, I mean, we didn't do anything particular. We just saw a movie of a city in India and play for about an hour and eat some food. We didn't do anything particularly materially extraordinary. But after we left the temple, there was some little hill with grass. We just, all three of us, started rolling in the... we were so happy, so happy. We were so happy. We just started rolling in the grass. Like the shouting, like that. So all three of us. And these two, they became... One of them, he started chanting 16 rounds. At one point, for a period, he chanted 16 rounds. Now he says he's atheist, but I don't believe him. It's just some stuff. Then the other one, off and on, one time he told me,